Hello everyone. The Gemara at the end of Perek HaMafkid is making some very interesting comments about money. Money is a big topic, and in Jewish world it's a very big topic. And today I want to touch, just a little bit. There's so much to say about it, but just hear the sources and see that like there's a dual approach towards money, and there's a very fine dance there between it's money is important and what is really important. So I'm sharing the sources, and let's see. So the Gemara in Baba Metzia, page 42, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, is saying the following. Rabbi Yitzchak says a person's money should always be found in his possession. So first of all, we need to notice that he says that's money, it's important, and a person should have money, and he should treat that one should treat their money with cautious. And what does he say? He should not invest all his money, leaving him with no money available for expenditures, as it is stated, and you shall bind up the money in your hand. Okay, so you have money, leave some for your expenses, and don't, but you should always have money available. And Rabbi Yitzchak is saying something else. A person should always divide his money into three. He should bury one third in the ground. In other words, like putting it in the bank, just put it in a safe place, and invest one third in business, so he'll make more money, and keep one third in his possession, so he'll have money to pay with for his everyday things. So it's a very concrete, realistic, actual behavior towards money. Money is important. You should always have money, and you should all keep some money for the future. The famous Mishnah in Masechet Avot is saying, "Marbe nechasim, marbe de'agai." He was accustomed to say, "The more flesh, the more worms, the more possessions, the more worry." In other words, when the more money you have, the more possession you have, the more money you have, the more worry you have. In other words, it's not that money is bad, but you should have money just as much as you need, because if you start to possess more and more money and more, and you have more and more possessions, then you worry about them. You don't sleep. It can hurt your wealth and your health. It can make you focus only in gaining more and more money. It's not good. Marbe nechasim, marbe de'aga. The pasuk in Kohelet is saying something a little bit more unclear, because it says they make a banquet for a river, revelry. Wine makes life merry, and money answers every need. Money answers every need. The kesef yaneh etakol is a very interesting statement. In other words, we know that, like, when we have money, we can buy whatever we want. We can send our kids wherever they need to learn. We can go on vacations without thinking twice. Hakesef yaneh etakol, but is it really? In other words, we understand that Kohelet is a little bit cynical in a lot of words that he's saying in the book of Kohelet. So what does that mean, a kesef yaneh etakol? And indeed, in Kohelet Rabbah, in the Midrash in Kohelet Rabbah, money answers everything, or money answers every need. Rabbi Yehoshua of Sichin says, in the name of Rabbi Levi, at times money is answered. At time one is not answered. At times when one performs with the money acts of righteousness, he is answered. And at times when money does not, when he doesn't perform acts of righteousness with the money, it denounces him. In other words, hakesef yaneh etakol, not always. In the pshat, it means that money cannot buy you everything. Money cannot buy love, real happiness, real satisfaction. It can buy only, gashmi things, only assets that are physical but not emotional and spiritual. But here, what the Chacham is saying in Kohelet Rabbah is that not only that, money can make you happy, or money can be for the good for you if you do good things with it, if you do acts of righteousness with it, if you give tzedakah. But if you have money and you're not giving tzedakah, you're not doing good things with it, the money itself can denounce the person. Another thing we find in the book of Mishlei, in Proverbs, in a chapter, in chapter 3, where he describes and gives a parable about the Torah. And the pasuk there is saying, in her right hands is length of days, in her left riches and honor. This is a very positive thing. You know, we're using the richness, we're using the money, we're using the osher, you know, as a description of what Torah can bring with it. So that's a very positive thing. And with and if we and another thing, another source that enhance that positive approach is in Baba Batra, when Rabbi Yitzchak, the same Rabbi Yitzchak that we met in Ar Masechet, who said it's good to have money, you just need to take care of it in the right way. Rabbi Yitzchak says one who wishes to become wise should face south, and one who wishes to become wealthy should face north. In other words, if this is what you want in life, there is a way to do it. But we have to, and we need to hear very carefully. In other words, the wisdom and the money doesn't come together. They're in opposite ways. But if this is what you want, this is how you should do it. To become wealthy, you should face north, and to become wise, you should face south. But Yeshua ben Levi is saying one should always face south. As once he becomes wise, he will subsequently also becomes wealthy. In other words, it's not a negative thing to become wealthy, but first you need to be wise, because only if you'll be wise, you'll know how to become rich, but you also will know what's the right thing to do with your wealth. And he's quoting our pasuk, the pasuk we saw in Sefer Mishlei. Length of days in her right hand and in her left hand are riches and honor. So it's not necessarily negative, but one should know, one should get wise first before they become rich, so they'll know what to do with the money. There's another approach in Midrash Tehillim that says, on our pasuk in Mishlei, Rabbi Chanina says the Torah says in her left hand riches and honor, and in her right hand length of days, and for the poor, like he says, like, wait a second, I don't understand. I know many poor people that are Talmidei Chachamim. How can you tell me that the Torah there's richness next to Torah? And the answer that he gets, and the Holy Spirit responds and says, to cause those who love me to inherit substance. In other words, yes, God says the one who loves me and learn Torah and they're poor, they will get their reward, they will get their substance in the next world. Why are they poor in this world? So that they should not occupy themselves with frivolous matters and forget the Torah. And it's very, very interesting, because this midrash is bringing us to understand that inherently there's nothing wrong with money and being rich, but when one is so rich, that can draw one away from God. So God is saying they're poor now that they will keep loving me and not be occupied with external things and matters that will cause my lovers to forget the Torah. Rabbeinu Hananel is saying something similar, and he's quoting a different midrash, and he's saying the Holy One, blessed He, courted all manners and did not find a better one for Israel than being poor, so that their hearts would be broken and their eyes directed to heaven and their eyes dependent on His mercy and grace. In other words, says Rabbeinu Hananel, yes, it is intentional that the people of Israel will be poor. And I want to say that being poor doesn't mean being poor not having a lot of money, but also being poor in existence. And to throughout the Jewish history, we were, you know, we didn't have rights. We were spread all over the land. And yes, many times we were also very poor. Only a few of us had some money, and the people of Israel had to live in a very poorly way. And here Rabbeinu Hananel is saying in Masechet Chagiga, yes, it's directed by God. So we will not forget that, and we will always have our eyes towards him so he can give us his mercy. And this is what the people say, the poverty, and this is like a phrase people used to say, the poverty of Israel is as beautiful as the red bridle to a white horse. In other words, it's so apparent. People see, the world see, that the Jewish people is not as rich as the other nations, but for the Jewish people, it's beautiful, and it's beautiful as a red bridle to a white horse. And it is known before the Holy One, blessed He, that when they deny Him, Yeshurun grew fat and kicked. Again, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. In other words, we know it, says Rabbeinu Hananel, and we know it till today. There's a very strange move in Jewish history. You know, when we're good and settled, and we have plentiful, no matter where we are, they kicked God, they forgot God, they forgot their identity. And when they were stressed and hunted, then the Jewish people kept their identity and were closer to God. Very interesting way of looking, you know, the underneath movements of Jewish history, which is a difficult one to bear. And the Midrash in Dvarim Rabbah is also saying, a lover of money will not be satisfied with money. In other words, we go back a little bit to discuss the specific issue of money, that a lover of money will not be satisfied with money. Do they not know that no man fills his soul? And what is money? He who loves the words of Torah. And another thing of Rabbi Yitzchak, our same Rabbi Yitzchak, he who loves mitzvot. So yes, there's something about being rich that are keeping us away from God. But here with the Midrash, the way of this Midrash to deal with a question of money is that it's not about money. And it's also about things that are important to have. When you're learning Torah, when you're keeping mitzvot, and then you're not satisfied, it's a good thing, because then you would like to learn more and more and more. But these are realms of existence, of realm of occupation, that if you do them, again, you're never going to get, you feel satisfied and you want more. And it's kind of like turning away and not dealing with the question of money. The other side of seeing money really as a positive thing is quotes that we know both from Masechet Shabbat and Masechet Nedarim, that the Shekhinah does not line up doesn't line up or doesn't come on a person unless he is mighty and rich and is a chacham. And the same thing in Masechet Nedarim, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, the Holy One, blessed He, rests His divine presence only upon one who is mighty and wealthy and wise and humble. And in Shabbat, they add also tall. But in other words, what we hear from these two Gemarot is that it is important for a person to be rich, and God chooses to be a prophet or someone with Ruach HaKodesh, is someone who is rich. And so how do we, so richness is important. One should maybe try to be rich in order to one day get the words of God, get prophecy. And here we see a list of very important things. To be mighty is important. To be rich is important. To be wise is important. And to be humble is important. It's as if the humbleness balances all the rest of them. But Baal Shita Mekubetzet is saying something very interesting. Why that prophet or that leader who is working in the spirit of God, in Ruach Elokim, why does one need to be rich? And says Shita Mekubetzet, so he may be free from everything and will not need another. In other words, when you have money, you're not dependent of other people. You're free to talk. You're free to act. You're free to be. And then even if you say the hardest things that people don't like to hear, they cannot do anything to you. They can't say they ban you. They unhire you. And or they put you on cherem. Or they don't let you have, don't let you buy from their house, from their places. You have the money. You can buy, money buys everything. You can do a lot of things. You can be a word of truth if you have money and you're not dependent on any other person. And it just reminded me of something nice that Virginia Woolf, I'm sure it's a known thing. It's totally different from a different realm of sources. But she says, all I can offer you is an opinion on one secondary matter. A woman must have money and a room of her own if she wants to write novels. In other words, a person who wants to make a different voice in the world. When we're independent, not only in our thinking, but also in our richness, in having money, and we can support ourselves, then we're not dependent on other people, and we can say our truth. Again, as I said, we're touching little things. There's so much more to say, but I wanted to dwell more on the concept that we heard before in terms of a lover of money never has his fill of money, nor a lover of wealth. His fill is his fill of income. That too is a futile. In other words, ohev kesef lo yisba kesef. If you love money, you're not going to have enough, and you want more and more and more and more. And the Baal Shem Tov, the establisher of the Tnu'ah of the Chassidut, is saying something very interesting. And he's saying, we know that on Shabbat we say, "May the Shabbat keepers and joy seekers rejoice in your kingdom. They will all be satisfied and take pleasure in your goodness." And ask the Baal Shem Tov, and it is difficult, isn't it, in the business of this world that pleasure comes before satisfaction? And it would be appropriate to say that they will enjoy and then be satisfied. And says the Baal Shem Tov, and the meaning is that there are in the business of this world pleasure without ever being satisfied. In this world, says the Baal Shem Tov, and it's really amazing, is 300 years ago, and he's saying, we like to feel pleasure, but it never ever satisfying us. So in this world, pleasure with can be can it can be pleasure without even being satisfied, and we want to feel it now, and we want to eat it now, and we want to buy it now, and we want to have it now, but because we enjoy the oneg, we enjoy the pleasure, but inside of us there is no satisfaction because money doesn't buy everything. And happiness, real true happiness, osher and simcha, is something that is not dependent on the money. And the whole idea of the learning of Torah is not that I will know a lot of Torah, but the Torah will help me balance emotionally, spiritually, physically, put my emphasis on the important things. And therefore, says Baal Shem Tov, so the in this world, pleasure can there can be pleasure without being satisfied, and there is satisfaction, but after satisfaction there is no pleasure again, because in the matter of wealth and great wealth there is pleasure, and everything that is richer has more pleasure, but it has no satisfaction. In other words, says the Baal Shem Tov, in Shabbat, on Shabbat, when is a taste of the next world, of Olam Haba, of Me'ein Olam Haba, this is a time where we can feel both satisfaction and pleasure. But outside of the, this time out of time in our everyday life, it is much harder to feel satisfied, not only pleasure. And I want to end with this pasuk, which is a very, very interesting pasuk in Mishlei. Again, it says, "Kno chokhmah matov micharutz, uknot bina nivchar mikasef." How much better to acquire wisdom than gold? To acquire understanding is preferable to silver. And here, the word kesef, money, means silver. That's the original way of the word kesef in Hebrew, because it used to be that the coins were gold and silver, and we called it kesef. But here, the Chacham is telling us in Proverbs, he's saying, wisdom and understanding are so much better and so much more expensive and preferable than money. And Rabbeinu Bechaye ben Pakuda, in his book Chuvot HaLevavot, is saying something very beautiful. And he's saying, if you worked hard to become wise, that means that the spiritual properties are yours. If you, the more we become wise, this is really ours. No one but you will deprive you of them, like it happens in the physical properties. We gain money, we can lose it. We buy a house, we can lose it. All the physical properties, people can take it away from us, or circumstances can take them away from us. But what we gain in wisdom, in Torah, in Chokhmah, in understanding, the spiritual properties are always ours. We keep them within ourselves, and no one can take them away from us.